Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn,
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. I'm super excited. We just had the election 2 days ago, and the results are still in. We don't have a winner yet, but I decided to bring on my business partner, longtime friend, helped build businesses together. This is the second one we're building. He's our CSO. He's a good friend of mine, Mr. Benny B. Ben Brookhart, how you doing, brother?
Doing great. What's up, Jason? Man, super excited to be on the True Underdog Podcast, man. I get inspired every time I get to see this, and now I get to be with my boy right here. We get to talk a little, you know, exciting stuff.
Yeah, well, hey, not only that, I want to make sure the listeners and followers out there know that, you know, you're not new to the motivational game. You've wrote a book. You know, you inspire me. You help inspire our team members. So a lot of things that you've done. Why don't you, you know, give a little bit of history about yourself and name your book out there so people know what Benny B's got going.
Yeah, so look, I've been in sales since I was 19 years old. You know, Jason and I have similar stories. I went to a 2-year college. I'm from Indiana, from the cornfields of Indiana. I played baseball in Michigan. I got hurt. I moved to a state I'd never even been before, which is North Carolina, and I got into sales at 19 years old, and it changed my life. And I've just been blessed to be around a lot of great people, and we've changed a lot of lives together, Jason. And it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I always wanted to write a book and talk about my story and talk about success. And just from an entrepreneurial perspective, look, I didn't have some silver spoon. You know, my mom gave me $1,000 to move to North Carolina to start my career. And so I wrote the book based upon, you know, my story of starting entrepreneurship and getting into business and starting businesses. And so the book's called Success Hurricane, How to Achieve Success at a Category 5 Level, baby. And five, you know, so there's a lot of things about five. I got 5 kids, you know, we've been part of 5 businesses. And
hey, my birthday's on the 5th.
There
I'm
you
just
go,
saying.
Man. Hey, it's a great number. It's a great number. It's a great number. So I'm just waiting for the Indianapolis Colts to win 5 championships and then it's over with.
Hold your breath. Hold your breath, baby. Well, listen, not only am I excited for us to get into this, but I want to start bringing you along on some of these shows. I mean, you know, I want to mix it up a little bit. You help me host some of the podcasts that we have, but also, you know, me and you, we handle all our sales meetings and all our install meetings every single month to motivate our team, right? We are the 2 motivators in Power Home to keep them hungry, keep them wanting to go through the brick wall for us, and to keep it, you know, hashtag Power Home strong. I wanted us, we told the Trump story, and since we had the election, and I was honored to get to sit down at a roundtable with Trump and talk to him for 12 minutes back at the end of September, we shared that story with our staff and our team, and we really collaborated very, very well. You know, you said, man, we should share that on the podcast. And so, you know, I wanted to get right into that and let you, you know, let's start there because we were able to share with the world of you know, what's going on and who, regardless of who wins the election, we're all Americans and we got to be together. So, yeah, I want to be able to share that inspiring story.
Yeah, well, when you first told me about it, that you were going to meet with President Trump, like, man, I just got chills. And look, it's not about a political thing, whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's just the opportunity to meet with any president. And so I was super excited for you, and I was excited for the opportunity. But, like, what inspired you to meet with President Trump? Like, what was it, Jason, when that opportunity came about that inspired you to say, yes, I'm going to do this?
You know, I just feel like every time we see something come by in life, we're scared and we think it's too big. And so what I've seen with our growth of our company and where we're taking things and what we're doing, nothing's ever too big, right? You got to turn those dreams to reality. And I never thought I would get to meet him. But, you know, I met with a gentleman in Michigan who was talking about, hey, we'd like your help on some of the donations to help for the political parties. And oh, by the way, I can get you to, you know, probably get to meet Trump. And I'm like, meet Trump. And then so that kind of led to, well, hold on, I saw solar panels on his on his latest video. Why can't I sit down with Trump? So then I started investigating, reaching out to people I knew in North Carolina who reached out to Laura Trump, who heard our company's story. And Kevin and I got invited in 18 to go to Mar-a-Lago for Trump to tell our story about how we doubled in size when we change to American-made solar panels, how, you know, it's not a bad thing that we wanted to bring those panels here and it's not horrible for our industry. Here's an opportunity for a renewable energy company that doubled in size doing that. So I felt like our story would be good enough to get us out there and get me on that round table. And, you know, you can't hit the ball if you don't swing. You don't make the shot if you don't shoot. So I pitched it. And then I got it. And I was like, see, nothing's too big. And so what inspired me was the opportunity to sit down and explain our business to him and how too many times in our world we see things that become bipartisan, right? Like, you know, religion. Oh, you can't be religious if you're Democrat. That's wrong. Or solar. Oh, you can't be Republican if you like solar. That's wrong. 70% of our customers are Republican. So I wanted to take our business and solar and explain and make sure that the Republican side and the Democrat side both know somehow that, you know, this isn't bipartisan. This is American, right? It adds jobs. It saves the planet. It, you know, whatever your reasons are to go green or save money or own your power, I wanted to be able to share that story and have the opportunity to do that. Because how many times can you meet the president of the United States? That's what she said. It could have been Obama. It could have been Bush. It could have been the old Clinton. Anybody, I'd have been like jacked up the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we frame this up for everybody, because look, anytime you have an experience, you always want to take it to a level of how do you associate that with a business opportunity or entrepreneurship. So think about it for the viewers, all right? How many people were there? 25, right, Jason? There were 25 people at the round table?
Yeah, there were 21 of us that got to sit down because he had four of his staff at there. So 21 of us and then four of his staff and Trump.
Okay, so 21 people. What was your strategy going into that, knowing that everybody's going to want to talk to Trump, right? What was your strategy of how you were going to get your message out there?
So when I got everything booked, and I shared with you guys, like, hey, I'm going to go meet Trump. And you, everybody, we all were like, we're grinning ear to ear. Like, really? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm going to take my shot to make sure I'm memorable. So worst case scenario, if I don't get my point across or things don't go the way I want, he's going to remember my face and power home. That was my goal, right? My goal was every time that SOB thinks of, and I say SOB in a kind way, thinks of solar, he thinks of, you know what? I remember Power Home and that blonde-haired guy's face in there screaming or yelling about his company, right? So I wanted to put us on the platform. So when we booked it and I was going to DC to do it, it was still surreal to me. It wasn't real, right? You know, you get to a point, you got to be in the moment and you can't let the moment take you over. I truly believe that. You know, those folks that play in the Super Bowl and they've never played one before, you know, they fold under pressure because they let the moment destroy them. They're scared. You got to stay in the moment. You got to stay tuned in and be cool. So to me, I always have this act as if Trump needs to be happy to meet me, right? Not that that is the case, but I have to mentally turn that on so I'm not, hi, Mr. President. I'm not pulling that. I'm like, what up, dog? Like, I'm like, Jason, like, I got to keep it real.
Hey, and just so for people that don't really know you, you carry that in everything you do. Like when you're hanging out with the NFL players, you're like, man, I'm not a fan. Like they're a fan of me. That's how you run your life and your business. So it's not just with the presidents, with everybody, which I love that. And I think people need to know that about you because it's a great mentality. So, all right, so you're going to let the presidents know.
Act as if, right? Act as if. Like, act as if I'm the man. Like, because I've seen being a diehard Lions fan and being a fanboy. Hey, can I get a picture? Back before I started making friends with some of the players. And then it was like, you know what? They're just people. Like, you can't let that control you. So when you meet people, people are just as intrigued by you as you are them, regardless of who they are. And a lot of people who are famous, everyone tells them the same thing. I love the way you throw the football. I'm such a big fan. Well, tell them something they don't want to hear. I don't even know who the fuck you are, right? Oh, like what? Like when you do that, it's like, holy shit. So, you know, I feel that is a thing. And thank you for those kind words. So I get there and I'm like, it's not even surreal yet. It's not a big deal. And I got to get COVID tested. And true story, the night before I flew in, I started getting some boogies, man. And for those that have kids, you understand boogies means you got snot and you're stuffed up. Like, I wasn't feeling good. And so my wife is busting my chops, like, what if you got COVID? I'm like, well, I got to get COVID tested before I go. So that whole night, I can't breathe. Like, my nose is stuffed. I'm like, ah, oh, this is bad. So I'm popping Sudafeds every 3 hours, and I drank probably 16 bottles of water. And I don't even like water that much. I drink not much water. I should drink more.
You were not missing that meeting.
Hell no. I was going. So by about 2 o'clock the next day on that Friday, I started to feel 95% better. And so I go to get COVID tested. When I go in there, I'm nervous again because it's hot down there. And I'm like, what if I got COVID? This is not good. I'm not going to be able to see the president. Well, I take the test, find out I'm COVID free. I'm like, yes. So then, you know, I'm all dressed up and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go in. So it starts to become a little bit more real. And I walk in and they did a lot of precautions. They take your phone, they take everything. You got nothing. You got your hands and you got your clothes and you got your smile. You got nothing else. And I'm in this banquet room and I'm staying at the Trump International in DC. And Ben, when I say the people that were there, I've been around some, you know, pretty famous or well-off millionaires. These were all billionaires, dude. I mean, I was with a B. I mean, you could smell the perfume and the money and the cologne in there was like next level. And I don't ever really get intimidated, but here I am, don't know anybody there. Mingle in a little bit. I end up sitting down next to this older lady, Kathy Adams. She's like, turns out she owns a bunch of oil in Texas, and she's best friends with Jerry Jones. And then another lady comes over and sits down. And so I'm mingling with these folks. And for a moment, it hits me. I had a moment of insecurity and, the moment's taken me over. And I had to go, whoa, I had to think for a minute. I'm like, what am I doing in here? Like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in here. And everyone's dressed in a suit. Now, I don't mind a suit, but I wanted to stand out. I don't want to be a sheep. I don't want to be everybody else. I wanted to stand out. So I had a dress shirt on. I had a coat on. I had a little nice pocket square. I had dark denim jeans, but I had red tennis shoes on. I did this on purpose with a red, but I wanted to be memorable, right? So for the moment, I had to go put some water on my face because I'm like, what am I doing in here? Like, I can't believe I'm here with billionaires. I'm getting ready to meet the president. I had to get my shit together. I went in the bathroom. I threw some water on my face. I came back out and I said, you know what? You know, I run a large company with over 1,600 employees. We're on a pace to go do $1 billion in sales. We do motivational meetings, you know, every month with our installers and sales guys. I run a podcast. What? I can eat these people up for lunch. Fuck that. What am I doing? I can't sit here and be reserved and back up and allow this to control me. Went out there and started being me. I'm like, what up? Chest bumping, high-fiving, elbowing. I got Ronna McDaniel comes in, who's the RNC chair. I love your shoes. You know, she's talking to me. Of course, she has her phone. She's taking a picture, you know, seeing your commercials, whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'm in my zone. I go and get the pictures.
And one thing about that too is like everybody else in that meeting probably was feeling the same way, you know, a little bit uncomfortable and don't know these people. And here's a guy like you that comes in and just opens up the mood and relaxes everybody. And you're the guy that they remember. Somebody's doing a podcast right now talking about this guy with the hair and the solar industry. And he came in and he's chest bumping a high five. So that probably set the stage for everybody to kind of look up for you to go into this meeting.
I would agree. I was trying to set the tone early because it was stuffy. And I don't like stuffy. You don't like stuffy. We like things to be good. It was a little stuffy and I was trying to break the ice. And we get in line to go get photos. And I'm talking to an attorney of the R.J. Reynolds company, tobacco company selling cigarettes out of North Carolina. We're chatting about North Carolina and you know, the lawsuits they've been through and what they've overcome and things like that. So we go to get a picture. And this is the first time that I'm interacting with Trump. And so you're supposed to be 6 feet away. They have a nice thing there. You know, no one has masks because we all just got COVID tested. And Trump's on the stage and they have this marker where, you know, I was number 80. Think in mind, there were 140 people in here, I think, that were getting a picture. And I was like number 80 in line. So there were only 21 going into to the round table after this. So a lot of these people paid money to just get a picture with the president and to say they went there. Even a lot of people at the round table just wanted to say they went there. Some people weren't going to speak. And one of the things that Ronna said to me, she said, hey, look, president has your briefing. has the information on you and your company. We've given it to him. We've read it. There's only a few people that he has information on. Because I took the time to write what I wanted to talk about and made sure that they had it in front of them. I wanted to set the stage. I wasn't going to be there unprepared. So I made sure I sent it to the right people and told them what my initiative was when I got there in the round table. And some people may have done that. Some people didn't. I did. And she brought that up. She also said that, listen, when you go into that room, there's not a lot of time. He's not going to take a lot of questions. And you got 20 plus people that are, you know, just like you, that want to speak to him. So you know, you might not get your chance. And I said, nah, girl, I'm a bully. I'm going to get my chance.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm getting my chance. All right. So get through the picture. And as I go up to the picture, I blank out because Mr. Trump is like, hey, because they say Jason Wally. He's like, hey, Jason, he has his hand out. I'm walking to shake his hand. I get too close. They're like, whoa. And I smile and I get the picture. So I'm like 3 feet where everyone else is 6 feet. So right there, I already set the stage, and maybe on purpose, maybe not, I don't know. But then we go into the room and I sit down and, you know, President Trump's not in there yet, but he's got a long table this way. And then this, each side, he's got 9 seats. And then the other side, he's got 7. Well, in there, they have a microphone. It's like being at the Senate or something. And they have your name on a plate on there. On the
microphone.
That's
next level, baby.
Next level. Damn, Jason Waller right there, baby. Like, and over things, they got
the president of the most powerful nation in the world is like 3-6 seats away.
About six seats away. And he's not there yet. And I'm like, and it's got his stuff. I'm like, dude, this is, now it's starting to go, all right, man, you got to keep it together, right? You get the little bubbles in your ears and your neck, and you get the little chill bumps and you're shaking it off. Like, this is what it's about. I can't miss my, don't let the moment take me over. Seize the moment, right? What is the difference here? I got to own the moment, not let the moment own me. So he comes out and, you know, he was late. He was about an hour late. Everybody claps, stands up, and he sits down, and he gets into, you know, hey, sorry, it's my fifth stop. I just left Atlanta. You know, they've been running ragged. He starts talking to Checky and these other guys, and donators on this other side, talking about the support that they've given him. He starts talking to this sugar guy, and then what happens is he then starts to talk about, listen, I've been running ragged, you know, 38 days to the election. You know, I'm going to continue to try to do this. We've got to win. You know, you guys can ask me any question you want in here. I don't care. There's no media in here, right? And they're like, nope. He's like, anything you guys want, I'm here for you guys. And then he's asked Mark Meadows, who's his chief of staff, you know, I think we're supposed to go to Norfolk after this, right? And he's like, yeah, how many people in Norfolk? He said, 30,000. He said, I don't know if I want to go. And he starts laughing. He goes, I'm going to go. So then he's like, all right, so who's first? So the guy 2 seats down from me raises his hand and goes into this whole hotel story, how he owns hotels and he's in the business of resorts and hotels in Oklahoma and Texas. And so one thing you got to know, and you know this as a salesperson, Ben, when you're asking the questions, you're in control. Now, pause. Regardless if I like Trump or don't like Trump, regardless if I was going to vote for Trump or not vote for Trump, I envisioned that I needed to get my information across to him when I spoke. And I envisioned I was going to have to spoon feed an egotistical narcissist type person who wants to be patted on the butt and said, really good job because of you. So I had all this in my brain that was going to be serving this on a platter for him to get my point across. I initially thought I was going to outsmart the president of the United States and feed him what he wanted to see on a plate. And get my point across. That ultimately was my plan, right? So I'm sitting there like, okay, well, I'm listening to this gentleman talk about the hotels, talk about this. Trump starts to take control. So where are you located? Guys like Texas. He said, do you think we're going to win Texas? He goes, yeah, we're going to win Texas. Okay, so who are your lenders? And this guy starts labeling his lenders. And he goes, have you thought about doing a reverse mortgage on those hotels until then? Well, we've tried it. He said, well, what about just going interest only or pausing for 6 months? He's giving this guy solutions. While this guy's telling a story, and he's like, what about this? So then he goes, hold on, Mark, what can we do? Can we contact someone at some of these banks and to help him and a lot of these other hotels out? Where are we at with a package for this? Mark says, well, Pelosi just called me today and we're trying to get a package done that includes hotels and resorts. And Trump goes, oh, Pelosi called you. Oh, okay. And so then Mark Meadows goes, well, yeah, we're trying to get that. And he says, that's in the deal. He's like, yeah. He said, well, we're trying to get a deal done. He tells that guy that. And the guy goes, well, you know, that's not going to help me now. And he's like, well, we got to figure something out. Two of those companies I know personally, we could probably get something done there. The other one, that's not even a good bank. He's like, Mark, can you go call someone right now and see if we can get a contact for him and his friends who own hotels, see what we can do to maybe prolong this for a few months till we get a package deal, prolong their payments or interest only to help them out. Mark's like, sure, sir. So Mark walks out and makes a phone call. And then he starts asking the guy, okay, so you've also got hotels in Oklahoma. You think we're going to win Oklahoma? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, great, great. Mark comes in, gives him a card, tells him, I've got a contact there. We're going to call him together. Here's my information. Guy's like, thank you so much. I was like, there was not one ego thing said. There was not, it's because of me. There was questions if he was going to win the election, but he was interacting like a business conversation, not like a president.
Like a business partner trying to help this guy.
Yes. Like, hey, we're in business. It was next level. I've been around a lot of politicians and I was like, that was awkward. There was oh, we'll see what we can do. There was none of that BS. It was, let's get some action done. Right.
Yeah. So to catch everybody up to where we are talking about this opportunity to meet with the president, you prepared for it. When you got there, you had to feel like, look, I deserve to be here, and telling yourself, giving yourself that reassurance. And then the plan that you had to talk to the president, you had this thought out in your mind, but now you're having to pivot a little bit. So, you know, think about going into a board meeting and you're presenting your product or your service and you got all these high-powered people here. These are the same things that you as a listener can be thinking about how you can get better in these situations to be prepared, to be able to be adapted, and know that you should be there and have a little personality to go into it. So now you hear this story, you're thinking about revising how you're going to talk to the president or ask the right questions, right?
That's exactly right. And like you said to the listeners, you could be going in for a job interview. You could be interviewing somebody else, right? Whatever it is, you're exactly right. You got to be able to adapt. And in that moment, after I heard that, I went from, I'm going to sit here and feed him all of this to, I may only need to feed him a little. I need to really just be more factual. This isn't a what you see on TV thing. Hey, Mr. Trump, because of you, I don't need to go that route. At least what I just saw on that first one. So what do I do when he goes, all right, so who's next? Mr. President, I do one of these. Go ahead. I said, Jason Waller here, Power Home Solar. We install America. He goes, hold on, right? I couldn't even get it out. Hold on. Did you say solar? And I'm thinking, remember, your brain's thinking, and this is happening in live motion. I'm like, oh boy, I saw the solar panels in his video, and I don't know how he really feels about solar. We're about to find out. And he goes, solar for homes? I said, yeah. He said, question, are you happy that we stuck the tariffs on the Chinese panels that were dumped in America all the time? I said, absolutely. So actually, we switched to American-made panels, and we doubled overnight. He said, good, good. And then he goes, so everybody knows the Chinese were coming in and putting these panels in here and hurting our existing panel manufacturer. Was it one or two at the time? I was like, yeah. He said, so we put tariffs on these panels coming over, and all of a sudden, I think we're up to 20 manufacturers in the U.S. Is that right? And I'm like, no, that's about right. And he said, right. So we don't need to buy their panels. We can make our own and save money. That's great. Okay, go ahead. So I'm like, and now I know what he's doing. He's controlling the situation. This is, okay, that's fine. So then I said, well, look, Mr. President, we've been in business. This is our sixth year. And 2 years under an Obama administration, we struggled. We lost millions and we didn't add a lot of jobs. Oh, and he said, well, of course you didn't, right? So there was this poke and I'm like, all right, okay. So I said, but under your administration, so here's me serving him up, but not too much, right? Because remember, I'm fighting, you know, you're adjusting, but I have a part of me that's act as if, right? You can't, oh, Mr. President. But another part of me, it's like, I just watched him handle this like a business guy. I need to like just be, so I said, look, under your administration, we've been able to add 1,500 jobs. And we're on pace to do $700 million in sales. And we're in 10 states with 21 locations. He goes, that's just great. He said, what states are you in? I said, well, and I list all the states. And then I tell him, hey, look, you know, I live in North Carolina and Michigan. Those are two things. He said, do you think we're going to win Michigan? I said, well, sir, I'm not sure if you're going to win Michigan. So I took the we out of it, right? And he's like smiling. And I said, okay. And he said, what about North Carolina? I said, I think you'll probably be okay in North Carolina. He said, okay. He's like, continue. And I said, well, we switched to American-made panels. We doubled oversize overnight when we did that. We saw that you won this campaign in 16 on the American-made companies being here in America and, you know, built by Americans. So we switched and there was a game changer. And he said, did you do that before the tariffs or after? I said, before you were talking about them. He's like, smart. I said, okay. So then I said, As we continue to grow, I don't know if you're aware of this, but almost 70% of our customers are Republican. He said, interesting. I said, exactly. Your constituents, the people that voted for you, the ones are the same ones who own a business or own land or live on a farm or drive a pickup truck. You know, they want that. These are our buyers. These are the people getting solar and battery, not because they're worried about climate change or they're worried about this. And I'm not saying any of that's true or false. I didn't go to college. I don't know if that shit's true. I said it just like that. And he starts laughing. And people, I said, but here's what I do know. I know that solar isn't really a Democrat thing or Republican thing. It's an American thing. It adds jobs. It allows people to own their power. It allows people to not be without power. It allows people to control their cost. It allows them to stop monopolies to where they can embrace themselves to provide for themselves. And that's the American dream. That's what we want to do. And I can hear someone saying that. And Trump's like, yeah, I know, I agree. What do you need from us? Do you need us to get the message out? Because I love solar. I love American solar. I don't like wind, but I love solar. And I said, well, you know, I would love to spread the word a little bit and quit having this, oh, only Democrats can like solar and, oh, Republicans don't. I mean, it adds jobs. And, you know, the last 2 years, it's the number one job growth percentage and continues to be. He said, no, I agree. I think there's a place for it everywhere. I said, right. There's enough energy being made in our country as we're growing that we're going to need clean coal. We're going to need everything we've got, including solar and hydro and everything. And he goes, no, he said, Rana and Tommy, you guys need to help get the word out that like we support solar. We're not against solar at all. And I said, great. And then I needed a soundbite, right? And so part of that soundbite was, I needed something that he could say that I asked him a question that we can own. We can either share on our website or something like that. Doesn't mean I need to record it for those listeners out there. It just means I need something that he says. He's a public figure. I can quote him on that. And it's legal. So I said, well, one more question, Mr. Trump. He said, go ahead. I said, well, if you win again for another 4 years, where do you see the solar industry going? He said, I see it growing. I see it exploding. I love solar. I love American solar. I don't like wind and I don't like Chinese solar. But I love American solar, and I see it a big part of the next 4 years. I said, thank you, Mr. President. And that was the soundbite I needed.
You
and
were
I was
thinking, like, this, bam, I got it right
yeah.
there. Right?
I'm like, bam, I got it. I got the President of the United States to know who we are, to remember me, to quote himself on loving what we do for a living for our 1,600 employees and our 25 to 30,000 customers, that even the President of the United States, wrong, right, or indifferent, you know, and it's labeled, oh, they don't care about solar. He quoted, he loves solar. He quoted, he thinks it's going to be a big part of the next 4 years. He quoted that, you know, he appreciates and doesn't want outside influence from other countries to affect our growth of our company here in the United States. So I thought that was a big deal. And then after that is when it got a little interesting because I started watching other people ask questions. And just like the gentleman two seats down from me, he was helping them immediately. I watched this lady talk about, this was crazy. This lady came on and she was very fancy. And she came on and was talking about a railroad from Alaska to Quebec to the 48 states. And she was talking about how it's going to save hundreds of millions of dollars over the next 10 years. It's going to create thousands of jobs. And it allows stuff and products to not be ruined or take too long and spoil going from Alaska to the 48 through the Pacific Ocean. It takes too long. So this will speed that process up. And he's like, is this privately funded or government funded? She said, privately funded. Me and my fiance are doing it. And he said, well, how's it going to add jobs? And she explained that. And he goes, and why would it save the company, you know, save the country money? And she explained that. And he goes, okay. And he goes, is that your fiance with you? She goes, no, this is one of our state legislators. So he goes, okay, you're in Alaska? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, all right, do you think we're going to win Alaska? The guy's like, yeah. He's like, okay. And he's like, tell me why this is good and why you would support it. And the guy's like, it adds jobs. It does this. And he goes, and you would put your name on this? You really think this is a good thing? He said, absolutely, sir. I think it's going to do this. And he said, then he goes back to the female. You can't make this shit up, Ben. He goes back to the female and goes, you tell your fiance you did a good thing, I'm going to approve that permit. Now, I shit you not, the next day when I woke up to fly out of DC, on the news it shows President Trump approves permit for railroad from Alaska to Quebec.
Dang.
I said, damn.
That's a man of action right there, baby.
Oh my goodness, dude. And I mean, thinking of it gives me chills. Like, how does someone like ding just like that? No BS. No, hey, let us think about it. Thanks for helping our party out. There was none of that politician. Right. This was legit. And it made me go, wow. And then the last lady to come up, and during this, you know, Ron was like, hey, we got to go. He's like, no, two more questions. Like he wanted to engage with these people, right? Including myself, which made me feel great. This lady came up and she's sitting down. She opens this book and she goes, Mr. President, I need to talk to you about an environmental issue. And I go, oh, here we go. Like, so far, everything's been perfect. Here we go. And she's like, it's in Florida. It's near Daytona Beach, over to Jacksonville. We're having some issues with the marsh. We're having issues with this. And he goes, is that book right there? It's in there. And she's like, yeah. And it's got all this. He's like, well, what's the issue? What's going on? And she explains how it's hurting the communities and the value of the homes are going down. And people don't want to pay the taxes on the value of their homes because they think that this is hurting that. And he goes, well, that's not good. Their housing pricing's going down. Yeah. He's like, okay. He said, give all that to Mark right there. That's for me. Yeah. Let me look at that and see what I can do. She starts to tear up and she's like, Mr. President, I just want you to know that I didn't vote for you in 2016, but I am proud to call you my president. Everything you said you were going to do since you've been elected, you've done. And thank you for the opportunity to sit here and thank you for looking to see what you can do on this. I watched him choke up a little bit and go, you know what? Consider that done. I'm going to get that done for you. Like, what? Just like that. So, you know, I ended the night and got to hang out with a couple of the Trump kids who were down there, you know, had a few cocktails talking to the youngest daughter, I forgot her name, and her boyfriend that was there, and then hung out and then wrapped it up and then flew home and was super excited and kind of kept it on the hush of how the story went till we could talk about it publicly and got the picture. But that's how that went, man. I mean, that's how exciting that was.
Dude, that is awesome, man. And I know everybody listening is like probably thinking about that moment. And look, this isn't about Republican or Democrat. This is about an opportunity. And, you know, the title of this is Interview Trump Experience and Seat at the Table, because that's what you got, is a seat at the table. And Jason, there's so many people out there that they get a seat at the table, but then they don't do jack with it. They don't do nothing because they feel good, like, ooh, I made it. I'm at the table with all these big wigs and all these successful people. And, you know, what could you tell people out there of that's not where you want to be? Just getting a seat, just getting there is not going to get you to where you want to go. Like, what would you tell them how to push and how to get their time to speak and all the things that you did with this opportunity that took it to the next level? What would you tell them?
I would use sports as the analogy. When you go to the Super Bowl, you don't want to sit on the bench. You want to play. And anytime you get a seat at a table, you need to try to play. You can't just be a spectator. This isn't, life is not a movie, right? You've got to make action turn into something. You can't sit and watch everybody else do something. And when you get, everyone gets opportunities at the table, somehow, some way, that horse comes by a few times and you've get your shot. You've got to maximize it. And one thing that I've tried to do, you know, the last few years of my life is every single opportunity I look at is I'm never going to get this again. How can I maximize this and do the biggest, best thing I can to make it impactful for everyone I care about around me and me, my family, our business, whatever I can do. I got to make this count. So I would say when you get that seat at the table, do something with it. Don't waste it, because there's too many people out there that could have done something with it and they were scared. And for those future entrepreneurs out there, or those inventors, or those salespeople, or teachers, you get an opportunity to either teach somebody something or you get an opportunity to create something. And scared money doesn't make money, and scared opportunity is no opportunity. You have got to challenge yourself to do something about every chance you get. Don't waste it.
Take some action. Look, if you're thinking about like something that you want to do or a move you want to make or something you want to develop, like, you've got to go for it, especially at a time right now. There's been so much uncertainty. You may have more time on your hands than you've ever had. So now that opportunity is open up for you to go do something. You know, a good friend of mine and ours, Mr. Bilberry, he always has a little saying. He says, don't talk about it, be about it. And it's all about taking action. And that's what you've got to do. And, you know, the other thing I took from this interview that you had and this opportunity with President Trump is not only what you did, but what he did. And as a leader, which is what everybody is aspiring to be, he took action. He listened to what people were saying, asked some questions, but then he took action. Now, not everybody's the president of the United States and just snap your fingers and approve some stuff from Alaska to the states or environmental stuff in Florida or some hotel loans. But you do have the ability to, don't just tell people, yeah, let me look into this. Let me research this. The typical political answer, Jason, you and I both had people in our lives that they've told us they're going to do stuff and then they never followed through. And we lost respect because every time they're like, yeah, I'm going to do that or we're going to go here. And then it never happens. And you lose respect for people like that. And that's not the leader you want to be. That's not the person you want to be. And look, hopefully this is something that you can learn from and apply it in your life and your business and the things that you're chasing, right?
I agree. And it's not just about business. You can apply a lot of these skills that we're talking about now, or these ways and tips of how to handle things when the moment arises as a parent. You know, I had a great conversation with my 13-year-old last night, me and my wife did, to where she was opening up. She's schooling us. She's educating us. I mean, when you have an opportunity to learn from somebody, you shut up and listen, right? When you have an opportunity to teach somebody, you do it. When you have an opportunity to make a difference, you do it. It's all about action and it's about timing. And I think, you know, we only get so much time in this world, and that's the one thing you can't buy is time. You can't get it back. I'm not going to get another opportunity to sit down with the president of the United States. I mean, maybe I highly doubt it. You need to act as this is your only shot in everything you've got, including with your kids. Like, I'm challenging myself every day. How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better CEO? How can I be a better friend? How can I be a better leader? Whatever. You're challenging yourself every day. We talk about it all the time. You know, holding accountability. What can we do? One of the things as a parent that, and this is fresh on my mind, is I can't get time back. I've got to find more time that I make impactful with my kids. Pretty good at doing it in the business standpoint. How can I make an impactful memory with my children? Like something that's game changing where they remember that forever, right? That's what I'm really trying to work on as well.
You know, look, that leads into like a whole nother conversation. You can talk about work-life balance and how can you be successful in one area and still be successful in others. There's so many people that they're great in business, but then their home life's terrible, or they've got a great home life, but they can't have success. Like, so, you know, that's a great topic. Maybe we can talk about on another podcast.
We'll have to do that one next week. That's a big one. We'll have to do that. The balanced life of next week. Well, Ben, I appreciate you coming on here and helping me co-host this and asking some questions and getting you on here. Hopefully we'll stay tuned to see what happens with the election sooner than later. I ask for peace and everybody to come together. That's it. But it's probably going to be a long couple months.
Yeah. No matter. I was telling my son last night, I said, look, no matter what the results are, we're going to represent and we're going to respect the president that we have, because that's what every American should do. Everybody's got a vote. Everybody's got a choice. But once that president is in office, look, that's our guy. That's who's leading the greatest nation in the world. And we got to get behind that person 100%, no matter who it is. And I hope everybody takes that message to heart, because, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world, man. And we're all blessed and have freedoms that other people don't. And man, I love the USA and love hanging out with you too, Jason. It's been great, man.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. Well, that's a wrap here on True Underdog. Check us out. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam! Unleash the power.